Good morning, Symphony Church, and welcome to our morning devotional. Today's passage is 2 Samuel chapter 4. When Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, heard that Abner had died at Hebron, his courage failed, and all Israel was dismayed. Now Saul's son had two men who were captains of raiding bands. The name of the one was Baana, and the name of the other, Rechab, sons of Rimmon, a man of Benjamin from Beeroth. For Beeroth also is counted part of Benjamin. The Beerothites fled to Gittaim and have been sojourners there to this day. Jonathan, the son of Saul, had a son who was crippled in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And as she fled in her haste, he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. Now the sons of Rimmon, the Beerothite, Rechab and Baana, set out, and about the heat of the day they came to the house of Ish-bosheth, as he was taking his noonday rest. And they came into the midst of the house as if to get wheat, and they stabbed him in the stomach. Then Rechab and Baana, his brother, escaped. When they came into the house, as he lay on his bed in his bedroom, they struck him and put him to death and beheaded him. They took his head and went by the way of the Arabah all night, and brought the head of Ish-bosheth to David at Hebron. And they said to the king, "Here is the head of Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, your enemy, who sought your life. The Lord has avenged my lord the king this day on Saul and on his offspring." But David answered Rechab and Baana, his brother, the sons of Rimmon, the Beerothite, "As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life out of every adversity, when one told me, 'Behold, Saul is dead,' and thought he was bringing good news, I seized him and killed him at Ziklag, which was a reward I gave him for his news. How much more, when wicked men have killed a righteous man in his own house on his bed, shall I not now require his blood at your hand and destroy you from the earth?" And David commanded his young men, and they killed them and cut off their hands and feet and hanged them beside the pool at Hebron. But they took the head of Ish-bosheth and buried it in the tomb of Abner at Hebron. Amen. A quick context summary of what has happened in 2 Kings so far. The king of Israel, Saul, has died. God anointed David to be the next king, but Abner, Saul's great general army, still wanted to have influence and power. So he deemed Saul's son, Ish-bosheth, to be king. But when Abner died, Ish-bosheth basically lost his protection and became a sitting duck. In today's passage, we see two men, Rechab and Baana, murder Ish-bosheth in his sleep. He was stabbed and beheaded. But proudly, they brought to David his head and said, "Here is the head of Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, your enemy, who sought your life. The Lord has avenged my lord the king this day on Saul and on his offspring." They both thought that they were bringing good news to David. They thought, "Look, now you can be king, finally, and we helped you get there." But David was not pleased. He blames them for killing a righteous man in his own house on his bed and commands his men to kill Rechab and Baana while cutting off their hands and feet. Yes, it's a gruesome passage, but there's a lot to learn here, especially in particular about hiding behind the name of God to shield our actions. Rechab and Baana took matters into their own hands, no matter what their intentions may have been. They did not wait on God's timing or his commands. Instead, they did what was right in their own sight, but then presented it as God's doing. Sometimes we can use theology or Christianity as a shield to resolve ourselves responsibility of our sin and actions. For example, I went to a Christian college, and I remember far too often I've heard so many stories of men coming up to women saying that God told them that they were meant to be together. And most of the time, that was not the case and it did not work out. God was merely a tool for them to justify or rationalize their behavior. Sometimes we can use spiritual authority to exercise our own agenda. Other times we can use grace to justify continuing it on in willful sin. We need to be wary and discern if our God-centeredness is actually a me-centeredness in disguise, Again, we need to be wary and discern if our God-centeredness is actually a me-centeredness in disguise. If I were David and I finally found out that I had a way to the throne, I may have rewarded Rechab and Baana. But David knew God's heart and trusted in his timing and in his process. So let's discern and see any Rechab and Baana-like tendencies and frameworks in our hearts and ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate that to us this morning. Let's pray. God, we just repent for the ways where even though we may be putting up a front that, you know, things are for your good and for your kingdom, oftentimes in our hearts, Lord, we are still focused on ourselves and we are blinded to that reality sometimes. So I pray that this morning, as you illuminate the word in our hearts, that you would reveal to us if there are any ways in us that we are like Rechab and Baana. Make us like David, God, to be after your own heart, to trust in you, and to know your voice, and to follow your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.